Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
We often hear about stage mothers, as in those behind the scenes who push their kids to get into the business. Well, this week I'm talking about a trio of productions that are definitely female-centric, but also specifically feature some strange, if not downright frightening, moms on stage. Starting with the mother of all bad theatrical mothers, no, not Mama Rose, but rather Medea, that ancient Greek who some called the first feminist. Well, the Medea currently playing at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, BAM, is directed by Simon Stone, and as the playbill says, written by Simon Stone after Euripides. Why now? Well, as Stone says, we do these plays because, unfortunately, women still kill their children. Medea is a warning of what happens when we isolate and marginalize women at vulnerable moments of their lives. Well, interesting thought, but aside from the fact that this version does feature such a woman at its center, it does not feel like a particularly sympathetic take. The story has been updated to our time, but the character is so crazed over losing a man that, well, it's difficult to find that feminism. "I'm not the same woman who did that to you," she hints. "We should never have had children." So early on, we know the dark things are coming. No fault here necessarily of the actress in the title role, that being Rose Byrne, a popular film and TV star. Her co-star is the man in her real life, the father of her own children, Bobby Cannavale. They are the box office draws here, clearly, and they both do admirable work, though Cannavale's is mostly a reactive role to the character he once loved and has left and watches turn him to even more mentally unstable woman right before his and our eyes. Now, by the way, let me take a moment to point out, some might say blame, the style of director Eva von Hove, who tends to favor empty stages and big screens. No, he's not involved with the show, though I can't help but think Simon Stone has felt von Hove's influence. And so we get a pretty bare white stage and screen close-ups of Rose Byrne's face for long chunks of time. Well, maybe it's a wink to young audiences who know these performers from other media, as in M-E-D-I-A, but it seems unnecessary. The show runs about 80 minutes, and it's largely compelling, if not surprising. We know those adorable little children probably aren't going to get a happy ending, and something remains cold and distancing throughout. Interestingly, I took a young woman with me who felt strongly that this Medea could only have come from the minds and hands of men. Which reminded me that Simon Stone last made impact at another similar venue, the Armory in Manhattan, with his adaptation of another classic, that being Irma, which also told a harrowing and bloody story about mothers and those they bring or can't bring into this world. Anyway, meanwhile, at the Vineyard Theater in Manhattan, another male writer, the highly prolific Lucas Nath, is giving us the story of another mother, in this case, his own. Dana H. is the name of this highly unique production. The tactic, I don't know what else to call it here, is that the lone performer, the very fine actress Deirdre O'Connell, lip syncs to the actual recordings made by Nath's mother, taped by a friend of his. The subject covers a half year in Florida when she was a victim of a kidnapping. Well, is this real theater? Is it a real performance? Well, yes and no. Or no and yes, I should say. A performer alone in a chair in front of us, looking as if she is speaking the words that we hear, well, is not inherently theatrical. But yes, O'Connell is enough of a terrific actress to convey a lot of Dana H.'s real emotions. The story is dramatic and at times almost incomprehensible. How she never really tried to escape her mentally challenged captor? "Everywhere we went, he had his hand on my neck," she claims. "He had become my protector." And why she never shared her story for a long time with her playwright's son. "Everything I did was for Lucas," she later said. But the audience seems along for the ride, though this personal tale of hostage mentality, well, I don't know. I wasn't bored, but neither did I feel particularly entertained or even enlightened by Dana H. When I walked out, one member of the audience I heard say, "That was the greatest lip syncing I've ever seen." Well, So that's what it is. Now, mothers, of course, come in all shapes and sizes, which brings me to my third production of the week, that being Sense and Sensibility. This newly adapted version of the Jane Austen novel is by Susan Lee. It's produced by the Hudson Warehouse Company, and it's playing at the Bernie Wall Center on the Upper West Side. Now, here the mother of note is Mrs. Dashwood, who might be considered the Marmee character, with a trio of lovely, if not so little, women as daughters. As those who have read Austen's iconic book or seen the great movie know, this is a story of those sisters and the potential men in their lives. It's been adapted many times, many ways, and this is a clean, clear, and entertaining production. Yes, we are in a small venue in a community center, but we are fully transported to those country houses abroad. There is good humor and observations that will hit home for many women. If he is infirm, then I am at death's door, laments Mrs. Dashwood. How do I look? Asks another character needing reassurance. The same, comes the deadpan male response. The Sense and Sensibility is up for several more weeks. The cast is damn near perfect, and the price is certainly right. Now, finally, I want to express a shout out for two productions I saw a few weeks ago as I was in Los Angeles, a city that I've often extolled for its growing theater scene. In fact, Dana H., which I just reported on, started in L.A. Well, the two that I just saw are West Adams, a searing, initially funny, but ultimately frightening take on gentrification and the racism that lies just beneath. Now, we're the nuisance, and they are using those rights to hurt us, says one character about the wealthy African-American family who's moved in. The play, a first effort by Penelope Lauder, reminded me of God of Carnage in that it features a quartet of supposedly civilized people who show their true colors as the night goes on. West Adams is at the Skylight Theater, which only presents new material. The other show I caught is called Human Interest Story at the decidedly unglamorous but highly respected Fountain Theater in Hollywood. This one deals with homelessness and the dire straits facing so many newspapers these days. We have a $13 million ad loss, and numbers are the reality of this business, says one editor as he fires his staffers, including the main character, a columnist powerfully played by Rob Nagel, who proudly gives voice to the voiceless. It is clearly based on Capra's Meet John Doe. Here she is actually named Jane Doe. The script by Stephen Sachs is too long and could easily lose some of the Trumpish references, but there is much here to ponder. We won't always be homeless, but we will always be human, is one line I recall. Another line in one of the shows, I believe in West Adams, is, my mother always said to live quietly. Well, lots of theatrical mothers are anything but quiet these days. And so many female-centric shows coming our way in the next few months. We have Company, Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Doubtfire, Diana, and Six, to name a few. So, Jill, pick your stage mom.
I don't know. There's a point where, and this is going to certainly be a controversial statement. I get so sick of women sometimes, but that's all right. We're going over the.
It's the men who write the women, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, that's what your young.
Yes.
That I found that really interesting because there's, you know, since the beginning of time, since Euripides, since we have been gathering in arenas watching this, mm-hmm. You know, there have been different takes and different viewpoints and. I always go back to my a very dear friend who, and I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, who always says, you know, I know why you hate tragedy, Jill. And I was like, why? And she said, because in every tragedy is an element of stupidity and you can't stand stupidity. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Because I was thinking, you know, this goes back to my first exposure to Romeo and Juliet. And I was like, well, could you not have checked? Could you just not have checked before you plunged the dagger into thy breast?
I see. Uh-huh. Interesting.
And so, you know, it always seems like a slight miscue, but the genre is absolutely fascinating. Yeah. And so the fact that, and I'm back to Shakespeare, because, you know, he has written both all sorts of female characters, obviously, that that aren't as, it's not the character is one dimensional, but sometimes the writer is quite one dimensional. I mean, you can essentially tell which writers have hideous relationships with women and which ones don't.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? My friend, I saw her looking at her playbill in the middle of Medea, and I wondered what she was doing, and she told me later, she said, I was just looking to make sure that this was written and directed by a man, that everybody behind the show was male, she said, because it felt like something a contemporary woman, this would not be the take a contemporary woman would do on it. Who knows? You know, but I did think that was interesting. But maybe they feel differently, maybe Simon Stone. And I certainly hope he doesn't take on Gypsy or Eva von Hove. That's my biggest fear, that one of them's going to want to reimagine Gypsy. And God knows what the close-ups we would see of, you know, Mama Rose and all that. But anyway.
No, as you say, it is a time where it's a time. And in this time, people... I will be most interested, if I'm alive, to look back upon this time and go, wow, yeah, what were they doing? And as you were speaking, I think that the next person who revisits Oscar Wilde is going to be a very, very happy camper.
I know somebody who just revisited him. I just went to a reading of her play. She has written a sequel to The Importance of Being Earnest called, I think it's called Imagining Frank. It's something about Frank. Really clever. And let me tell you, those women are much stronger this time around than they were in his. But but I know what you're saying. I mean, this is, we've talked about this many times. It's a moment of reimagining, and that is great. And I'm not against anybody doing that.
And
you pick your choices, pick your poisons, or pick the ones you want reimagined, or ones that don't need it.
Let me ask you a question. Having watched, I'm sure, Shakespeare in Love,
yes.
All right. Does anyone think that Elizabeth I was a strong woman?
The one played by
Judy Dench, but the fact is the Elizabethan era, the first one that ended in 1603.
I can't remember. She was certainly strong in that, in her little one scene in that movie, but that's probably because it was Judy Dench, and Judy Dench is always strong.
Well, I was actually really just viewing historically. You know, between the Spanish Armada and the whole nine yards, I think that if you look back in your history, and this is where I tend to part company with a bunch of people, you will find tremendously strong women in history. Tremendously. And I think that keeps, or I don't want to say keeps, and I don't want to overgeneralize it, but I do notice that there's in this reimagining and revisitation, suddenly there weren't any strong women until today.
Yeah, thank God for the Judy Dench's and the Helen Mirrens. You know, they keep bringing them back to us. I mean, I was in Moscow, 2 years ago, and we learned all about, who was the famous one there who was married four times, that Helen Mirren just played on a long HBO series.
Talking Catherine the Great?
That's it. I mean, nobody was stronger and more conniving and more and stronger than the men in her life, you mm-hmm. know, hated her. So, oh my God.
Yeah, but it's just a reminder to those who are just beginning to discover that women have a voice. It's like, yeah, well, all right. Going back.
Yeah, that's why I like, even though I may not have enjoyed that show, Dale H., or what's it called? Dana H., that much. You know, it is unique. It's a different way of doing something. And gosh, you know, nowadays in theater, if you could find any, a one-woman show isn't unique, but a one-woman lip-syncing a whole show is unique. You know, so I don't know, you know. God bless these people. They keep finding ways to surprise us.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.